Thankful for this opportunity to stand for God once again. I get very nervous standing up here and never took myself to be someone who'd get nervous or worry about things so much. I seem to in Sunday school, can't stop talking, it seems like some, but when I get up here, there's a greater importance to standing behind this pulpit. And as I was thinking that if you came here to see something great from me, it's not there. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells in me that anything good of this service will be. And I ask you to continue to keep me in your prayers, that God's word will be seen. And that's what's going to uplift us. And that's what's going to help us. I'll be reading this morning in the book of Romans, chapter 12. And now, Lord willing, I'm going to try to read the entire chapter 12 in the book of Romans. But I'd like to focus on the first two verses. And when I first started to study this, I thought, well, I'm going to get through all 21 verses. I want to go through them line by line and systematically. And there's a lot of times I thought, well, I need to write out exactly what I need to say. And then God points me in the right direction and says, no, I need to rely on him. And as I started to study, I realized there is more that I could preach on in the first two verses that come from God than what I could study on out of the 21 verses that would come from me. And I began to realize as I was reading these that it is very deep. It is a lot deeper than when I first looked at it. And I'm thankful for that, and I praise God for his guidance in helping me see this. So we'll begin the reading in verse 1 of chapter 12 in the book of Romans. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And that concludes the reading. Forgiving my mistakes. Thankful for the Sunday school lesson this morning. You may have heard some of this. It kind of just spills out as I start studying the things that are on my mind and the thoughts on my heart that God has given me. And so as I'd said, I was thinking I was going to go through all 21 verses. And I was going to go through three different sections. Now, a lot of times I think when I get up here, you know, what other preachers have done. And I'm thankful God has given me exactly what he needs me to do today. That we are all different in some way, in some fashion. This is my portion that God has given me, and he knows what I'm fully capable of doing. And if he expects anything more than that, it is through his power and his strength I'm able to do that, and is not of my own. So we like to start off in verse 1. As I'd said, I probably won't get through the two verses, but if God leads me otherwise, I'm thankful for that. And it says, "I beseech you, therefore." So Paul is writing to them, and the "therefore" is in conclusion to the first 11 chapters that he's talking to them and is writing to them. It says, "I beseech you," and he means urge. An urge is in between command and beseech. So he's urging them, he's not commanding them. Now it says, "by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." So he's urging them to do this. He's not commanding them, because the way we worship God shouldn't be that we want to do it because someone told us that this is what we should do. That we should do it earnestly and sincerely. Now, I think everyone here would agree that we're not here to do things that other people would see because it's a routine or a custom, but that we would sincerely and earnestly, with our own heart, to want to serve God. That we'd do it as Paul has written, by the mercies of God. And that's what he had spoken about in the first 11 chapters, is the mercies that God has given us. Now, I get a little dry mouth. The mercies, as I was reading through them, the one that comes out and stands out to me the most is his love. That's what I can draw closest to and remember. That when I was a child, before I knew God, I did not understand love. I understand I needed to love. I was explained that I need to be nice to people. That was kind of what love was to me, you know, treat them fairly and things like that. But when God saved my soul, he put his love in me. And I'm thankful for that, because I understand it more fully. And as I grow older, I continue to understand it more and more. I know it wasn't that long ago. I quit reading the newspaper. I start reading articles. I see all these bad things in the world, and it would break my heart. This is the love that I see that God put in me. And I believe all the evil that's going on in the world breaks God's heart. So it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," or "I urge you, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." So living sacrifice, we hear today, and this is our bodies. This is, he's not talking, I don't think, about your spirit or your soul, but your bodies. That in the Old Testament time, they would have sacrifices, and they were dead sacrifices. And if I try to remember here, Psalms 51, and it was verses 16 and 17. It says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." And I know in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, also speaks about the sacrifices. And it says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." The animals in the Old Testament times were not acceptable to God, as in because it was a dead animal. It was the intent of the heart. They were doing this because this was obedience to what God told them to do. And that's where it came into mercy and obedience is the most important sacrifice we can have. So in our living our life day to day, the obedience to God is what he wants and not the sacrifice. In the Old Testament time, that obedience was a picture of the ultimate sacrifice to come, which was Jesus, who gave his life for our sins. That's what appease God. That's what God was needing. It was a perfect sacrifice. And when in the Old Testament times, they had to give a sacrifice without spot or without blemish. And that's who Jesus was. When it says, through one man sins, which is Adam, many became sinners. And now sinners, we go to the basic, is separated from God. But through another man, which was Jesus, which was perfect, came justification. And it's through Jesus and Jesus alone that we are justified. So continuing on, it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, reasonable, we could say rational. And I looked up the definition. I'm not got a lot of these other words. I don't use them every day, rational. And it says in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says, rational means based on or in accordance with reason or logic. So in a reasonable service, there's a reason or a logic behind this rational decision that to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, I can't speak for everyone. I know for myself, the reason I do this is to thank God for his mercy and his grace. When he saved my soul, I could not do that. No man could do that. It was God and God alone. And it says we're saved by grace through faith, not of our own, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I cannot boast on anything with that. So I'm thankful, as I was reading this, how much he's put in there of how we should live and the responsibilities we have as children of God. And when we get into the church service, I think we come in and a lot of times we think, what can we get out of the service? I want to feel, you know, a blessing. I want to feel the Spirit. It was mentioned this morning about in times past, and I remember when I was younger, you'd hear a lot of shouting. You hear a lot of singing and testifying. You could, I'm sure, hear it outside the church. Now, I still look forward to that day when we can be that city set upon a hill. I want the neighbors to hear this church outside the windows and the doors. That's how the gospel sometimes can be spread. It isn't by our own thoughts. You know, well, I got to go talk to somebody and I got to explain it to them. There's nothing I can explain to anyone except what Jesus did for me. God's got to talk to their heart, and they got to listen to God. So we'll get to verse 2, and it says, "And be not conformed to this world." And I spoke this morning in the Sunday school class, and we talk about like the cell phones. There's a lot of times you go out, and you'll even sit at home. My family's quiet. They're all on their phones. We don't get together like we used to do. I know when we first moved in, we didn't have television or cable or internet. We live pretty far out of town. And we would play games together, board games. We would watch, you know, Christmas movies together. We had assorted DVDs. That was about the only thing we can watch on TV. And I thoroughly enjoyed them times more than today, where they've got the internet now and they've got their TV now, and not being able to talk to them. Jared would go out and he'd be in the woods, and we'd do things out in the woods, and his cousins would come out and they would go out in the woods. There's more there coming together in fellowship with each other than we could ever learn on these phones. And it's just slowly creeped in. When phones first came out, they were just to call someone. You know, you'd have, I think my mom still has one of the old flip phones. You just push the buttons, that's it. It's not smart. Sorry to call you out to your mom, but I like the smartphones. I like having my Bible apps and things like that on there. But as we talked this morning too, you slowly start getting into other things, and before you know it, you're spending a lot of your time in there. And that's what he's trying to tell us, not to be conformed to this world. We got to be very careful, because it does, it just creeps in. It says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now God gives us a new heart, a new mind, when he saves us. We think differently. We should act differently. But it's a continual renewing of the mind. It isn't all said and done then. That when we're saved, we're going to know everything we need to know. We study God's word. And I can tell, as I have been studying it, that I continue to gain knowledge and wisdom by his grace, that I draw closer to him, that I'm more capable of talking to others, of pointing them to the cross. And if it wasn't for God's word, I would not be able to do any of that. Amen. Now, we got to pray each day earnestly. We got to study God's word. And I know that as I continue to study, and it becomes more of an obsession almost. I want to get in there and study it, because this world, when I look out, I can't find any truth hardly at all. You look as, you know, all over, and you find very little truth, very little good. So when I dive into God's word, I see truth, I see love, and I see good. And it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So that's, as I'd said, kind of where I'd gotten to in two verses. Didn't think there was that much in there until God kind of opened it up and started showing me what he was trying to show me in his way that I would understand. And I'm hopeful that I was able to explain it more, that you would understand it a little more. Now verses 3 through 8 talk about the special gifts that he had given to the church. And I think we kind of touched on it this morning, that there are several members of the church. And as I was reading this, I'm thankful that God breaks it down for those that are simple. That it's the body of Christ in the church, that there are several members that make up, and we can't do without one or the other. And when you think of body, you're thinking of our human body. And as I was thinking about it, if I wanted to go back there to get a drink of water at the water fountain, well, my feet have to carry me there to it. My eyes have to guide me to see it. My hands have to push the button. My mouth has to drink the water, and you go on. That I can't do that with just one member or just even two of them. It takes all of them together to do what we're looking to accomplish. So what are we trying to accomplish? That perfect will of God, and that is to glorify Him. And I'm thankful for God and His guidance that when we look at sin, a lot of people think, well, it's the bad things you do. You've broken the commandments and stuff. And that is true. But sin, like I'd already mentioned this morning, is the basic level is the separation from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were separated from God. And I'm thankful that it wasn't their sacrifices where they tried to cover themselves with their fig leaves, but it was Jesus, which God said gave them the animal skins. He was the initiator. He came to Adam, said, Adam, where are you? He still does that today. It's He that draws you, and He is the initiator of our salvation. He is the finisher of our salvation. And so I'm thankful that when we're no longer separated from God through the sins, that our soul is sealed till that day of redemption. Now the body still can sin, and Paul had mentioned many a times how you got to beat down the body. And there's a lot of times it gets harder, or it gets hard too. It doesn't get harder, it actually gets easier as you continue to trust in the Lord more. At least for me, I've found that if I deny myself the things I know I shouldn't do, God continues to help me and strengthen me. He doesn't give me the strength just in that time. He strengthens me throughout this time here, that He gives me the strength that when it comes up the next time, it gets easier, and then it gets easier. And that's where the sanctification comes in. He's making me more like His Son Jesus and less like this world. So I mentioned about sin, and I'll kind of go down there just briefly here, and I should be done. But sin is an old archery term, and it's referring to missing the mark. It's when they'd shoot the arrow and they would miss the target that they were doing or what they were trying to hit. So what is the mark is what we look at when we're talking about the scripture and about God, the spiritual things of what we're made up of, not of this world. And that is glorifying God. And how do we glorify God? That is by showing His characteristics through us. That's how we let His light shine. And the commandments, we look at it and it says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We ask ourselves, or some might ask, well, why are these 10 commandments? Why did He make it these 10 commandments? If He would have said, thou shalt not bear false witness, would it not be a sin? Well, if it wasn't written down, then it wasn't of God. This shows the characteristics. The 10 commandments show the characteristics of God. So to not bear witness, false witness, is showing the characteristics of God that He is truth. He does not lie. And to glorify God, we would follow this command to show who He is, that the world may see that through Him we are made more and more perfect through the sanctification process. And the same as, thou shalt not commit adultery. God is a faithful God. And these are the commandments are showing the characteristics of God that we can follow these in our love that God has shown us, that He would be seen in this world. So, and I believe that's all I was wanting to talk about. Ask for your prayers as I continue to study God's Word, and thankful again for this opportunity to be up here and grow in the Lord. And
Appreciate that, Brother Scott. Y'all feel like picking out another song, doing another little song this morning before we dismiss?